Hello and welcome to Sybil's Book Club. I am Sybil Wilkes, and it is a great pleasure to have as a guest today Dr. Leith Mullings. She is the widow of Dr. Manning Marable, and we have had a lot of discussion about the late Dr. Marable. Of late, he is the author of the groundbreaking biography, Malcolm X, A Life of Reinvention. Unfortunately, we lost Dr. Marable just days before the book was published last month. That was April 4th by Viking Press. And Dr. Marable's lifelong work has been one of great education and distinction, and an author of what, almost 20 books, Dr. Mullings?
Yes, 14 authored books, and I think another 13 or so edited volumes.
Dr. Mullings, tell us about Dr. Marable, and if you could give us just some background on your relationship with Dr. Marable, how you all met, and the man that you came to love and work with for many years.
Yes, well, I had read his first book, How capitalism mm-hmm. underdeveloped Black America, and I really liked that book. It named names, it told the truth, and was very typical of Manning. A quote, I think, from Amilcar Cabral, the assassinated leader of the PIGC, the liberation movement for Guinea, Bissau, and Cape Verde. Tell no lies, claim no easy victories. I thought that really came out in that book, how capitalism underdeveloped Black America. But I didn't meet Manning until years later. I met him in 1993 when he actually came to City University to apply for a job. And he did not take that job. He took the job at Columbia. And I have to say I was a bit annoyed. And I went off to Paris for a year where I had a teaching fellowship, and he went to Columbia. And when I came back, we got together. Eventually, we got married in 1996. And we've been very involved together, both in writing and in political initiatives.
And so when you all married, and both of you being academics, was that that obviously was the basis where you first read his book. And in terms of his life outside of the classroom, your life outside of the classroom, what kind of man was he? Because I only know him from his books as you, and having read his books as far back as when I was in college, and having admired him as an academic outside of the classroom, outside of the author that we know. What kind of man was he?
Well, outside of the classroom, he was very committed always to Black liberation.
Mm-hmm.
And that is basically how he lived his life. In addition to the things that he did in the classroom, he also published a column along the color line for 30 years, which he distributed free of charge to Black newspapers. As a person, he was generally very warm and generous. But his main passion was really writing. And so he wrote all the time. And our vacations consisted of him writing in different places.
So he is as we said, the academic, and he wanted to be the best, from what I understand from a lot of people who have written about him after his death. And they say that he's often been compared to great scholars like W.E.B. Du Bois and others, and wanted to be the best in Black scholarship. And I think that he attained that desire. Would you not agree?
Yes, I think he would. But going further than that, mm-hmm. I think what he wanted to do was to create a new paradigm in contemporary Black scholarship, and that paradigm would be one that linked activism and scholarship. He didn't see them as separate. He thought that the development of theory was very much conditioned by practice, and that theory and knowledge was power, and that and that masses of people should have access to that. And so what he tried to do, for example, when he founded the Institute of African-American Studies at research in African-American Studies at Columbia, was really to create an institute that bridged the academy and the community.
Mm.
So the institute had conferences on such things as reparations, of prisoner disenfranchisement, the prison industrial complex, the problems of black youth. And so not only did he want to be the best in terms of doing the best work he could, but he wanted that work to really be available to people.
We are talking to Dr. Leith Mulling. She is the widow of Dr. Manning Marable, and he died days before his groundbreaking book and controversial book of Malcolm X, A Life of Reinvention. And Dr. Mullings is telling us about her life with Dr. Marable and what kind of man he was. And let's talk about some of the other books that he wrote, because you said that's how you came to know him initially, is through his writings. Now, he did write other almost 20 books, and before the biography of Malcolm X, he also wrote books on Medgar Evers and W.E.B. Du Bois. Was there that kind of pushback from those books that he wrote as he has received from Malcolm X?
No, there was not, which is interesting. His biography of W.E.B. Du Bois as a black radical Democrat, probably much of the pushback was actually from scholarly reviews, as opposed to of course it wasn't social media then.
Mm-hmm.
But his book on Medgar Evers, he wrote with Merle Evers,
right?
And this was really an endeavor of love for him, as was the Malcolm X biography, because here was one of our real heroes and didn't even have a book. And so he and Merle sat together for days, and he interviewed Merle about Medgar's life, and they collected his papers and put them together in a book so that we would and future generations would have a record of this great man and what he did.
How about when he decided to initially write the book about Malcolm X? What was the discussion like at the table with you all and about how he chose to write this incredible book about one of our leaders of the past?
Well, he actually decided to write the book probably in the late 80s. He was reading the autobiography.
Mm-hmm.
And he noticed all kinds of inconsistencies. He was teaching the autobiography, mm-hmm. I should say, and became curious. But then he went to Columbia to build the institute. But then in the late 90s and early 2000s, he began to return to the biography. And then in about 2003, when he stepped down from the directorship of the institute, he was really working full-time on the biography. And as I said, this was a tremendous labor of love for him. He loved Malcolm, and he was just fascinated by all of the struggles that Malcolm went through and how Malcolm emerged. I must say that it was always a topic of discussion.
Mm.
That was his main topic of discussion. It was very difficult to get him to talk about other things in many instances, because he was really fascinated by this. And I think the things that fascinated him most and that he wanted people to understand was that Malcolm was a real and complex human being who went through enormous personal and ideological struggles, that he made mistakes, but at the same time, he was a historic figure who, as he said, embodied the spirit, the vitality, and the mood of an entire generation. But I think what really got to Manning is all of the forces that were arrayed against him,
mm.
that Malcolm mm. himself could not have known about. Only a historian coming afterward who could actually read the documents, who could read the FBI papers, could see what a tremendous challenge Malcolm had and how he came through it with all of these forces that were surveilling him, that were following him, that were infiltrating his organization, etc. I think also Manning was very fascinated by Malcolm's journey to anti-imperialism and to international human rights. And so in the biography, I think, is the first time we really get a discussion of his African diaries. And that just excited Manning tremendously to be able to read this data in the travel diaries about how he went and formed alliances with prominent world leaders and revolutionaries, and how he eventually could envision a modern Pan-Africanism based on a global anti-racism. And I think he was also very interested in Malcolm's meaning to the rest of the world, and particularly the fact that Malcolm could have served as a bridge to the more than 1 billion Muslims and how this would work out. And then finally, he was very engaged with the whole question of the assassination and the unresolved questions in the assassination. And he did hope that the biography might lead to reopening the case. And he was particularly concerned about the law, the role of law enforcement institutions such as New York Police Department BOSS and the FBI. We were all, you know, activists in those days.
Sure.
And the degree to which they surveilled, infiltrated, and in fact moved things in different directions. I think Manning really wanted to know, did they have advanced knowledge of the assassination, and what is the information that continues to be suppressed by the agencies? And his hope was that this might help to pressure them to release the documents.
Now, here was a man. I'm talking to Dr. Leith Mullings, and she is the widow of Dr. Manning Marable. We lost Dr. Marable on April 4th, was it?
April 1st.
April 1st. I'm sorry. The book was published on April 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we're talking about his incredible book, Malcolm X and A Life of Reinvention. Malcolm X, A Life of Reinvention is the book that has generated a great deal of discussion. As he was writing this book, and you all are having these discussions, if you are having these discussions, was there a preparation or a discussion about the kind of reaction that he would get to some of these things that he had uncovered and was subsequently writing about?
Yes, I think he was clear that there would be some elements in the book that would generate controversy. And he indeed looked forward to having some of these discussions among black people. And he felt that portraying Malcolm as a man with real challenges, real struggles, who made some mistakes, who went in various directions, would allow the people in the black community to really think about their heroes as real people, and the fact that they were able to overcome real things, that they had contradictions, that they had challenges, would in fact really be a helpful discussion in the black community.
In terms of response that you've received, because at the time, you are still now, obviously, still grieving the loss of your husband, and yet this book has generated the kind of response that it has. What are you hearing, what in terms of people responding to you about your husband's work?
I think overwhelmingly the response that I have received is people really grieving the loss of a great scholar.
Truly.
As you said, Manning has written many, many books. He's written books on living black history. He's taken up many causes. He spoke for prisoners. He spoke for community organizations. And he was only 60 when he died.
Mm-hmm.
His work was not finished. The next piece of work he wanted to do was on visionary black leaders. And so the overwhelming response to me has been one of grief at the loss of a scholar, an activist, a mentor.
Dr. Manning Marable died on April 1st of this year. His birthday would have been this week, May 13th. He would have been 61. But also, as we learned in some of the writings about his life, he suffered from sarcoidosis.
Yes, he did. For the last 25 years, he suffered from sarcoidosis, which is a disease that, an autoimmune disease that attacks various organs in your body. And in his case, the place that it attacked most dangerously was his lungs. And so over a period of 25 years, his ability to breathe has decreased. So in the last 2 years, 2.5 years, he could not breathe without oxygen. So he really forged through trying to get this finished under very difficult health circumstances. He had a double lung transplant in July, which was a very difficult operation.
Mm-hmm.
But he really wanted to get this book finished. And he did physical therapy, pulled himself out of it, was doing well, and he did manage to finish the book. And then, unfortunately, he contracted pneumonia and then went in the hospital, contracted some other infections from being in the hospital.
Mm, my goodness.
Yeah.
What a man, and what a story that his life is, and then in his telling the stories of the lives of others. We are talking with Dr. Leif Mullings. She is the widow of Dr. Manning Marable. We lost him, an incredible scholar, last month, April 1st, and talking about his book and the response also to the biography of Malcolm X. Dr. Marable had a great research staff, I would imagine. Are you all having discussions still after his death about the response to this book?
Oh, yes. Manning had students, graduate students that he worked very closely with. And I think if you'll talk to any of them, they say it was a tremendous learning experience. He would meet with them. He would work closely with them, give them assignments, you know, such as, can we find out what the Egyptian press said about Malcolm? They helped him to construct a chronology from various sources of what Malcolm did every day. And his students, I think, have been wonderful in really going out and also trying to represent what Manning really thought about what was important in this book and the writing of the book. And so, yes, we are still...
Dr. Mullings?
Yes.
Oh, we lost you there for a second. I'm sorry.
I'm here. Oh, shall I repeat?
Just, you're dropping in and out.
Oh.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Dr. Mullings, let me ask you this. We're talking to Dr. Leif Mullings. She is the widow of Dr. Manning Marable, and talking about the loss of this incredible scholar and to our community, especially as a man who was the bridge between activism and scholarship. Dr. Mullings, what about the conversation, or if you've had one, or perhaps going to broach a conversation with the children of Malcolm X and Dr. Betty Shabazz? Have you had any conversation at this point?
I myself have not. Manning has had conversations with some of the children, the daughters of Dr. Betty Shabazz, early on in this endeavor.
And have you heard some of the discussion and how they have responded to the book?
Yes, a bit.
Uh-huh. Are you disturbed by the fact that they are not seeing the full picture of their father, and that was really what he endeavored to do? Because, as my friend Tavis Smiley said, you know, he was writing this book to give a more complete understanding of the man who was regarded as a hero, but he was human. I know sometimes it is difficult for us to see our parents and some of our heroes as human, but surely they understand that your husband was just seeking to give such a full, fleshed-out picture of their father.
Well, I would hope that they will come to understand that, and I do understand how difficult it is to understand and deal with one's parents. One doesn't necessarily want to see one's parents in all of their complexity. I think that's true for all of us. But I think what Manning did was paint a picture of a tremendous human being, and that when and if they are actually able to read the entire book, I think they will come to understand and admire their father even more than they do, because I think Manning had tremendous admiration for Malcolm, you know, as he expresses at the end of the book and throughout the book. And I think that this will come through if anybody actually sits down and reads the entire book.
Well, I got to say, it's 600 pages. So
yes, it's hard.
I must admit, as much as I love to read, it has not been one that I was able to go through in one sitting.
No, absolutely. And I think that's part of the reason we're getting such a pushback, because I think there's a whole segment of people that really haven't read it. They've just read what other people have said about it or heard what other people have said about it. And, I read it in page proofs, and I sat down and read it again when it came out, because you never know what might get dropped out. Mm-hmm. And it takes a while to read.
Yeah, but it is an incredible piece of work. I am just sorry that he did not live to see the publication of it in its form and get the kind of discussion and be a part of the discussion that has followed the publication of the book, Malcolm X. And I really want to thank you for taking the time. I know that it is still early in your grieving process, and I really appreciate your joining us and talking about Dr. Manning Marable and the life that you all had in terms of the man and not necessarily just the scholar that most of us knew him as.
It is my pleasure, and thank you for inviting me. And I am very glad to do this, because I really wish Manning were here to do this himself, but he's not.
In terms of something that we have not discussed, or some point that you would like to make if we haven't already gotten to it, anything you'd like to leave us with?
Well, I think what I'd like to leave you with is the very end of Manning's book, The Acknowledgements, where Manning says, "I am deeply grateful to the real Malcolm X, the man behind the myth, who courageously challenged and transformed himself, seeking to achieve a vision of a world without racism. Without erasing his mistakes and contradictions, Malcolm embodies a definitive yardstick by which all other Americans who aspire to a mantle of leadership should be measured." And, you know, I think that really summarizes how Manning felt about Malcolm.
And it summarizes how we feel about Dr. Manning Marable.
Well, thank you so much.
A tremendous gift to us all. And I'm so sorry for your loss, and appreciate your giving of your time to talk about this great man that was your husband and was a wonderful scholar to us all.
Thank you very much.
God bless you. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Leif Mullings, and she is the widow of Dr. Manning Marable. And we appreciate you joining us on Sybil's Book Club on BlackAmericaWeb.com.
Thanks.